And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is WarioWell.
My fellow ketchup lovers, it is finally time to redeem ourselves. We can finally turn back the hands of time with this victory. So join with me, my fellow ketchup lovers. We shall overturn Mayo this time around.
So you're saying that you're behind and you're trying to catch up? Oh, come on, Will. You know I relish these puns.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of, oh, boy, look who's back. It's Tellius Tyler.
Yes, I'm sorry I was absent last week. And, of course, they would announce a Paper Mario game the week that I had to miss. It's
tragic.
The day.
But it was the day, remember?
The day. That's true. I am excited for the Splatfest. I am a little disappointed that it's Mayo versus Ketchup again. I feel like they could have done a more exciting one. But I'm definitely partaking this weekend.
So yeah, and right now my weekend just got a lot more open. I was supposed to do a family of thing, but now that's gone. So if my work doesn't show up, I'm Splatfesting and Fire Embleming all weekend, and I care not. So, but in light of what we're going to be playing, it's time to start off with, what have you been playing? And Tyler, since you've now been out for a little bit, and you've got 2 weeks of gaming under your belt, what have you been playing? Besides the crying game of, why does this keep happening to me?
I have been playing a amount of Streets of Rage 4. My brothers, I was with my siblings, and... It's a great multiplayer game to play with people. So we kept progressively cranking up the difficulty. We're on Mania now, so we've beaten hardest arcade mode, and there's one more to go. But I had to unfortunately leave them before we were able to finish the job. So it's going to be a while until we get to run that back. But the game is just so much fun. There's so much more detail to it than I originally noticed. You're definitely going to get frustrated by some cheap shots every now and again. Some of the enemies feel like they're impossible to dodge or impossible to attack before they attack you. But I just can't recommend it for couch co-op enough. And then in that similar vein, I had also been playing Box, which is just the most eternal game that for the next 10 years I could randomly say, what have you been playing? It's Mario Kart. Because of how great that game is. A long time ago, I ranked every single Mario Kart 8 Deluxe track, and I wrote, like, a paragraph on each of them. It was the most obsessive I'd ever been on a project. And I put Excitebike as my least favorite. And I don't know, I put it, but, and I was pretty proud of that list, you know, for, like, a year. I felt like I had nailed it. I felt like this is the definitive list. I've played Excitebike more and more and more, and because I think everybody else really loves Excitebike, like all of my friends, whenever we're playing with any groups, somebody always picks Excitebike. And I'm starting to think I really like it. I'm starting to think Excitebike is a good track and far better than the worst in the game, which I reevaluate now, but it's probably not Excitebike. It's probably like Neo Bowser City or something like that.
Neo Bowser City is a really bad stage, in my opinion. Excitebike is just more or less very like a simple stage, but it's just with the different variations of like the ramps and jumps. I mean, it is simple, but like minor changes, like with like Mario Circuit, the original Mario Circuit as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. I see. My original complaint was that it was too straightforward. On the jumps, it's fun. It's a straightforward track. Like the track itself is straightforward, but it's always exciting to see everybody like up and doing the boosts, and the leads change a lot because there's not a ton of really hard turns. You know, it's really just hold straight and remember to do the and hope that, you know, you cut the turns well. But it's exciting. It's an exciting race.
All right, Will, how about you? What have you been playing?
Nothing really much on the gaming side for the most part. Aside from like the one major event is the anniversary event for Overwatch, and like played some matches and definitely like the new nice little skins. The new skin that I'm actually go get is the newest one for Reaper. It's very I don't know, but it's basically one of the legendary Reaper skins.
I don't know.
So, excuse me, sorry, brain fart. But overall, the Overwatch event is, again, it's another anniversary Overwatch event, and also, I really need to try the new hero Echo, which, yes, it is an Echo fighter, but I wonder how she actually does play, so I gotta definitely try out Echo once I get a chance to. And anything else that I've been playing? Yes, I've been slightly progressing on Persona 5 Royal, and of course, as usual, I've been doing my usual mobile games of Fire Emblem Heroes. And so far, the only thing I've managed to go and pull right now is 2 4-star Raphaels. And yeah, like, while the new bridal things is not bad, it definitely is nothing really necessary. I mean, it's not any press for, especially since we're going to get another mythic hero soon after, which I'm guessing it may be either Dimitri or Claude. That's my money bet, I'm guessing. So, as of right now, if you can save some orbs right now, I think it's probably wise, unless you want to go for Bridal, Nelia, or Wife overall. So, and of course, there's Makai and Soph, which I gotta give props to Veronica Taylor. That performance is just awesome in her voice lines. So, overall, nothing much, but if you get, and just for a tip for Fire Emblem Heroes is, like, if you can save your orbs, definitely do so, and then I think next Resplendent Hero of Emla Sanaki is gonna be coming soon for Fae Scribers, so gonna be interesting how to see her lines are. So, overall, it's been kind of a bit of a slower day, but again, this coming weekend, Splatoon, and of course next weekend, which we'll be getting to the news, is another open beta that's coming up, so I'll be discussing later on.
As for me, I have been playing Fire Emblem when I can. I beat Cinder Shadows, so let's really talk really quick about that. I'm not really sure how I feel about the storyline, because for the entirety of the main game, we don't even get a look at the mother. Like, I don't even think they said her name once. It was always your mother, you know, my sister, you know, she was a nun, blah, blah, blah. And sister as in Rhea's sister. And, like, then it's like, okay, that's fine. Mysterious, you know, something going on there, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, in Cinder Shadows, not only do we see her, we see, like, her multiple times. And then she's somehow preserved, I guess the best way to say it. Yeah. And then we meet her, you know, former friend zone person in her life. We all know those people. And, oh yeah, hey, I'm going to try and bring her back to life, because what could possibly go wrong? And then, like, how that ties into the Cindered Shadows crew, or the Ashen Wolves. And it was like, it was fine, but, you know, it wasn't exactly the deepest storyline ever. And then it ended as predictably as you could expect. So, meh. But glad I got the DLC for free. But I will say I like the characters. I have started my Silver Snow run. I actually I decided to go a Tyler route, if you will, and I increased the difficulty. Because for the first three, I did the first three storylines on a basic, the intermediate difficulty, just because I wanted to play the game. I wanted to play the game. I didn't want to stress about it. And it was hard enough-ish, whatever. And, you know, it was fine. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for the all-star team here. So let's just do the hard difficulty. I did not do Maddening. Sorry, Tyler. But I can already see the difference. Like, I can remember, like, going through. That was a lot easier than I have. So I'm trying to balance my team. And because I know I'm going to lose Edelgard and Hubert, I'm trying not to level them up as much so I can rely on my other characters. And then I've already got all my Cinder Shadows crew, so I'm incorporating them into the gameplay. So it's going to be interesting to see what my team is like by the end, because I'm going to be recruiting, like, Felix, and might get Sylvain, because I prefer him to Ferdinand. Ferdinand's a dick. I'm sorry, but when I click on him and I keep hearing, I'm Ferdinand von Eyre.
But that's the point of his appeal. Again, that's right. Why everyone funny. Loves him.
No, it's not funny. It was funny the first time. He was like, oh, I get it. You're self-important. You think you're the boss. Ha ha ha. But then when I keep hearing on, like, 5 times during the second level, I'm Ferdinand von Eyre. I get it. Shut up!
He's the man. He's the best.
I could hear you all complaining in the background. Oh, wait a minute. So Todd prefers a womanizer over a self-important guy? No, I like Sylvain because he is a player, but he knows he's a player, and he's intentionally destroying his relationships until he finds the right girl. I can appreciate that. Ferdinand, not so much. All right.
I am Ferdinand Bonhoeffer.
Actual character growth.
Shut up.
He has character growth.
Hey, put Sylvain and Dorothea together. There's your character growth. Okay, that's truth.
That's forced.
That's truth justice in the Fodlan way.
I'm sorry. I kind of shipped Dorothea and Ferdinand. Actually, honestly.
Yeah, so, I agree. Okay, me too.
Hey,
me too.
They had a good connection. I liked their little backstory about how they met. That was adorable. Sylvain was more adorable with her though. Anyway,
nah.
Shut up. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, so I'm only on like level 3. It actually just I'm really really glad that I waited this long to get into Silver Snow because it just everything starts to feel a little fresh. Because again, I played the original 3 storylines pretty close to back to back to back. I think Pokemon disrupted it for a time. Oh, Pokemon Luigi, that was it. So like I played Blue Lions and then Black Eagles back to back, and then I did Golden Deer last, and then I waited. Then I played Student Shadows and now Silver Snow. So it feels more fresh. I enjoy going throughout, you know, Garenmok Monastery and seeing all the characters again. I remember why I like everybody. And then with the Sintered Shadows, now I have the Abyss and I can pray to that pagan god altar, which is always a good idea, as you Supernatural fans know. No? Nope. Neither of you watch Supernatural? Really?
Not a Supernatural fan.
Oh,
but
gosh.
The pagan altar is sweet.
Oh, yeah. I have, like, 90,000 renown because of my 3 playthroughs, and so I'm like, ooh, I can boost myself all the while getting better gear. So, like, I got myself a rapier for, like, 600 points because I'm like, I got 90,000. What do I care? So, yeah, it's good stuff. I'm trying to be fair, though, because, you know, I could easily just, like, level everybody up, but then that kind of ruins the effect, you know?
Mm.
So I'm trying to be fair to myself while also, you know, stacking the deck, if you will. So I look forward to revealing where I am next week before. I don't think I'll be done by next week because of just how things are going, but I don't know. I could have a dead week of work and I could be done before Xenoblade, which was the goal entirely, and then things just happened. So,
right.
Whatever.
That's coming out in 2 weeks from now, yeah.
It's next week, Will.
I want to circle back really quick to your Ashen Wolves Shadows playthrough. I agree with you on the story completely. What did you think of the map?
The map?
Maps, yeah. What do you think of the levels? Level design.
The levels are great. I like the I could feel the difficulty. I could feel like the I think I was on the middle difficulty, I do believe. And it
Skate mission was my
The what mission?
Skate mission where
oh,
you
game.
Had to
Yeah, I remember that one was difficult because it didn't fully explain the whole, you know, you have to get to this point in 10 turns. I thought he meant like the end of the map, not just everyone within this gated area. And then when I was expecting to get another 10 rounds, it didn't give me. I'm like, oh, now you keep the timer. Okay, I see how it is. But no, that one was tough.
I agree. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought that one was tough. I liked the dolls map. Where they, like, the first time you meet the dolls, where you had to, like, hit the switch. I thought you had to hit all 3. So I was, like, slowly going to sweep the map, but then I just had to hit 1. No, the level design was great. Like, I like the variety. I like the fun of it and, like, the different difficulties of, like, having to get to certain places and not just having to route the map. It was clever, and I had to use my characters wisely or I was going to die, and I appreciated that. So on that part, totally loved it, and that was worth it, so. And I already am looking forward to having my Ashen Wolves at their full power via their special classes of War Monk and Trickster and Valkyrie. And what was the fourth one? What was Constance?
A Dark Plier.
Dark Plier, there you go. So yeah, I look forward to having those two because they are like I can see why you liked Constance because she's so OP, you know.
He's so busted.
So yeah, but I'm looking forward to seeing how my Silver Snow run goes. And then, of course, I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes and not really a fan of the Bridal Banner. I mean, sure, putting Soth and Micaiah together, that's canon. I don't like Nyla as Bride. She's already a queen, dang it. I mean, she doesn't. And then in the storyline, it's like, you know, she's all but accosting Raphael. I was like, is that any way to look at your bride? And I'm like, granted, that's why I like her, because she's tough as nails. But it's just, it felt so weird. And then they throw in the whole Leanne and Nasala thing. It's like, oh, she wants to get married to Nasala, which we all could kind of tell from, you know, the storyline anyway. But it's just like, I want being dressed. And it's just like, oh, brother. Yeah, can you hand this up anymore? Yes. Yes, we can. So, whatever. I'm saving my orbs. I'm at 200 right now. So, I did a free summon. Didn't even have a chance to summon Nyla. I was going to summon Nyla out of principle, because she's, of course, my queen. But, well, I look forward to whatever the new banner is so that I can summon actual characters I desire. That's so hard. Is that so? Now, granted, I will give a slight pass, because I do like that they incorporated Raphael. So now we have the three Herons. All right, so I do like that. But I still don't like that they bring in new characters as specialty banners. You know, like we got Charlotte in the original Bridal Shower. We got Grail via that, what was
Valentine.
It? Valentine's Day. It's like, why was Grail in Valentine's Day? And now Ashnard as the Dark Banner, that one was fine, because that, like, that perfectly plays the character. All right, that was the exception, not the rule. And now we have Raphael.
Pent.
Yeah, Pent and Louise.
Pent was in the Bridal Banner, I think,
yeah,
last
Pent,
year.
Yeah, Pent and Louise were in the Bridal Banner, technically, because one was Tempest Trials of Reward. But, and then, of course, now we have Raphael. It's like, okay, I get it. Right, whatever. And why was Hinata in there? Like, why is Hinata in this thing? I mean, that
as
just
a
makes
Tempest
jo- that's totally
hero,
random.
It's definitely a weird choice, to say the least. I mean, again, I can understand if it's, like, going side with Oboro, because, again, like, Hinata is the wingman for Oboro, trying to with Takumi, so, maybe that's the reason. And just, like, also researching on his voice lines, it's actually pretty adorable, just see how fussy he is, and just, like, he's just so used to being training and just wing something so formal, it's just completely out for him.
Now, I will give props to the Takumi line in the storyline, where he distracts Oboro with the Takumi line, and she's, like, fussing over her outfit because she doesn't want him to see it like this, and I'm like, that's adorable. I shipped Takumi and Oboro day one, but yeah, this is, sometimes they push this a little too far, and I know Will eats it up, but, you know, I'm not Will, and it's so obvious, but whatever. Yeah. So, moving on, we had a very interesting week of news, and we got a lot to talk about. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right, so before we get started, as we noted, Tyler was not here last week, even though it was the day of the Paper Mario reveal, and he had to have, like, his family thing happen, so whatever. So I am going to allow Tyler to talk for 15 seconds about what he thinks about Paper Mario. Go. 10 seconds.
Actually optimistic, because the trailer
5 seconds.
Set a good mood, but the combat, I'm still concerned about. I yeah. would have liked to see that as just seems like they're never going to give us exactly what we want, but as long as there's incentive to have combat, I'm fine. I want to experiment. Super Paper Mario was great. I just want it to be a good game. They need to show some incentive to actually fight, though.
You could talk for longer if you want. I really don't care.
No, you were counting down. But I was like,
that's better. Over,
I mean,
you were over 15 seconds like a minute ago, so.
It was over 15 seconds, but no, I mean, I thought that the coolest part of the trailer, they really set that horror feel successfully, and then it seemed like they kind of got away from the horror vibe, so I'm not sure what the tone they're going for is. I like the idea of the horror Paper Mario. Incorporate that throughout the game in various ways. I'd be interested to see how that would turn out. And then we've seen I've seen reports that they cut out the partners from the combat, and like from the trailer, so they're gonna reveal.
Right. From the Asian trailers, they had like the partner in the back.
Yeah. So having like, and like I hope that's true, because partners are so critical to Paper Mario. The NPCs. that we've seen so far are just generic Mario characters again. And, like, you know, I don't know why they do that. It doesn't make a ton of sense. Part of what made the first two games so great was how colorful, and the third game, honestly, was how colorful the cast of characters were. And I was disappointed in that part of the trailer for sure, but maybe they'll show us more what we're looking for as we go along here. But yeah, I think cautiously optimistic is the way to put it.
Yeah, I agree. And I saw that there was like quote new gameplay, and like no, it's not. It was the same gameplay you had before, because apparently you have to like align the rings and then you can attack opponents with max power and blah blah blah. It's just like
right.
So we'll see. I'm with you. I'm going to be cautiously optimistic about this because I want it to be good. I've ragged. I know you didn't listen to the podcast last week, Tyler, but we did what things Nintendo has done wrong, and I blasted the Paper Mario combat of the last few games, and I was just like, give us what we want. And everything I'm seeing about this one is just like you said, it's just not what we want. We're not asking for much. We're not asking for Metroid Prime 4 to be the best thing ever, like you did when you announced it. All right, we're asking for a Paper Mario game that's like the previous Paper Mario titles that were actually good. This shouldn't be so hard.
I'm sorry, because the way I'm just picturing it right now coming from you is like I'm picturing Dave Bautista basically with that meme image of
Give me what I want! Yeah. Yeah, I know that. And I appreciate the wrestling reference, Will. Thank you. So, so let me ask you, are you ready? No, I'm joking. Let's get ready to Nintendo! Alright. So, from one announcement that shocked us to a potential announcement that may or may not be coming, rumors are swirling from certain insiders, aka leakers, aka rumor mill people, that we are going to be getting a Pikmin announcement either this week or next. So, rumors have been swirling about Pikmin on the Switch for a long time. Number one, it should happen. We need a Pikmin game on Switch. It would sell well. But the question is, what? Like, there's been rumors about Pikmin 4 not just being made, but being done. So if it is done, why haven't you announced it? And then, like, a few days ago, I saw another rumor saying that we were going to get, like, Pikmin 3 Definitive Edition, or, you know, Enhanced Edition, DX with Knuckles, whatever you want to call it. So that could happen. And that wouldn't be out of line because of everything we've been seeing with Nintendo the last 3 years and so. But I don't know, and we don't know if this announcement is going to come. And if this happened last week before Paper Mario, I would have said it would be announced during Nintendo Direct. But then they dropped Paper Mario like it was nothing. So, oh my gosh, that's it. That's why they dropped it like it was hot, because they couldn't touch it anymore. Because they're like, oh my gosh, this is totally not Thousand Year Door 2. They're going to hate us, so let's just get rid of it. Here, just put it on Twitter. I kid, maybe. So, what do you guys think? If this Pikmin thing is real, are we going to get enhanced Pikmin 3, or are we going to get Pikmin 4?
There has been a lot of rumors regarding to the Pikmin again. Like, if they decide to release, like, a updated re-release of Pikmin 3, I think that would be the safer bet, to say the least. I mean, unfortunately, I have not finished Pikmin 3 yet. I'm actually at the last level, but I never got around to it since it was at the end of the life cycle of the Wii U. But if they do decide to re-release Pikmin 3, that would be the best, but I also heard regarding to like information like perhaps that Shigeru Miyamoto was working on Pikmin 4, and if it is indeed Pikmin 4, then heck, okay, you got my attention. I mean, we definitely want to hear more of the story of Olimar and the rest of the crew, so like we never know. Heck, even might see Olimar's family for once. I don't know. So having Pikmin news, I think this definitely brings an extra life to the Pikmin series. So if it is true, then heck, more good news.
Based on how 2020 is gone, I just can't imagine we're actually going to get Pikmin 4. So I think I agree with Phil. They're probably going to do a re-release of Pikmin 3. I think that was what the rumor has been for a while now, at least in regards to Pikmin, is that they're going to redo Pikmin. And yeah, I have it on the Wii U. I played it a little bit. It was fun. My younger brother loved it. So I'll probably buy it again if they re-release it. At the same time, it certainly wouldn't be. Oh, I wouldn't be overly excited about it. I mean, just another remaster, adding a few things. You know, I'd rather see something brand new.
Yeah, I mean, given the lack of info about everything that's been going on, I wouldn't be surprised if they said, hey, Pikmin 4 coming out in August. It'd be a perfect follow-up to Paper Mario. You know, it's a different kind of title. You know, it's RTS versus RPG. And they know we can just slowly announcing the rest of the year. You never know. So, I've never played Pikmin. I remember when it came out on the GameCube, and it was, you know, another one of Miyamoto's unique creations, and then it took on a life of its own, then Olimar came into Smash Brothers, and then Captain Falcon killed all the Pikmin in Subspace Emissary, and so good. Memory. But, for all you Pikmin fans, I do hope you get an announcement soon, whatever it is. Fingers crossed. But just remember, this is a rumor meal from, I just said rumor meal. I mean, if you want to eat rumors, I'm not going to judge you. It's a weird time. Eat what you can, you know? So. All right. From an announcement that may come to an announcement we're still waiting for. Bayonetta 3. So, to recap, Bayonetta 3 was announced by Nintendo at the Game Awards in 2017. It's been almost 3 years since that point, and we still have not got a screenshot, a trailer outside of the initial one, and which was just a teaser, let's be honest. They didn't show Bayonetta in full. And blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And all the while, all that Platinum Games is saying is, hey, it's coming. We're working on it. She's still coming. It's happening. Blah, blah, blah. The fans have started not to believe. I mean, I know it's not us, Will, but some of the fans are not believing. So Hideki Kamiya himself, you know, your favorite person on Twitter, he went to talk to VGC and he said, quote, I'm on Twitter, so I see a lot of comments every day. I'm happy there's still anticipation for the title. But one thing I would like to address is the trend I'm seeing, which is people who are starting to ask if the game has been canceled. I want you guys to take any concerns you have like that and throw them out the window immediately, because we're still hard at work on it and it hasn't been canceled by any means. Please look forward to it. End quote.
That's the thing, you gotta kind of respect Kamiya. Like, again, we talked about him before, but the fact that he's like pretty darn blunt regarding to his responses, like, that is, you gotta give some sort of respect to him. And Kamiya, with the recent release of Wonderful 101 digitally right now, like, he's pretty much, he is very straight. He is very straight. Blunt, but straight in regards to his deliveries. And if he says that Bayonetta 3 is hard at work, especially with the current world situation that is right now, I wouldn't be too worried. And again, he does not give no BS. He does not give any BS.
Oh, is that why he blocked you on Twitter?
Oh, don't worry. I'm getting my redemption back. I'm hopefully he won't unblock me this time around. I backed his game, so.
That was wonderful.
But he still hasn't unblocked you yet.
Yeah.
I have not checked yet. I haven't any checks. See.
How could you not check? You backed his project.
You should be unblocked by now.
Well, nothing is certain in this world, Tyler. Nothing.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, again, we're talking about Bayonetta 3, which we should have had by now. So
this is what, like, it's very, from my perspective, I don't know why. Shin Megami Tensei 4, I feel like they announced that an eternity ago. Five. I feel like they announced that an eternity ago, and I'm just, like, on edge waiting.
You are right. They announced Shin Megami Tensei 5 at the inaugural Switch event in January 2017. So it's been over 3 years since that game announcement.
Right.
So that did
get announced before Bayonetta 3.
Way before. So.
Okay, Bayonetta 3 was that year's Game Awards?
Yeah, so, like, think of it this way. Shin Megami Tensei was in January, Bayonetta was December.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm excited for it. I'm not overly worried about it. I never thought it was canceled. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, I didn't know we needed it. It wasn't canceled. It is weird that we haven't seen anything yet. Every Nintendo Direct has been, are we going to see something on it? And then we never did. But I expect that we will see something on it soon.
Chelsea. Now, I'm like you. I never thought it was canceled. They had plenty of time to tell us it was canceled. They would not hesitate to tell us it was canceled. Like, hey, guys, we tried. We failed. We just couldn't make Bayonetta look any prettier. Kidding. It wouldn't be that hard. But, you know, they've clearly said that they're trying to do their best to top the original two games, all right? They don't do sequels that often, as Will has noted in the past, you know? And when they do, they try and outdo themselves, which they did with Bayonetta 2. So they have a lot to, you know, live up to with Bayonetta 3. So if they want to take their time and they're trying to make sure it's the best possible game that it can be, who are we to judge them? Oh, wait. We're the internet. We judge all the time. So. Okay, I was expecting something there. Come on. It's a classic internet joke. Come on.
Ooh.
Oh, shut up, Goodell. All right. sticking with Platinum Games, they were talking a lot about various things in regards to the Switch. And a lot of people have been, you know, still some people are still talking trash about the Switch, even though, you know, it's doing incredibly well. And so Atsushi Inaba was talking not just about the Switch, but about the PS5 and the Xbox Series. And he noted that these two new consoles, quote, don't carry an extreme surprise or an unexpected quality. To which he said about the Switch was very groundbreaking in how it was able just to take a home console and make it portable. He also likened it to how the Game Boy and the DS were revolutionary in their own ways. So it's I like that he refers to it like that, because he goes, quote, Switch opened up all these new possibilities. I think the Game Boy and the DS also did that. There were so many surprises in those. If you compare that to where you're simply seeing graphical improvements or just faster, bigger, obviously it's nice, but it doesn't have that same inventive quality that really surprised me with past consoles, end quote. So he's my spirit animal, apparently, or my Japanese counterpart, take it that as you will, because I have said for years that the reason I still support Nintendo is because even when they take a step backward in some things, they're taking a step forwards in others. They have never been the whole, we're going to improve the graphics to infinity and beyond, because they know that there's a limit with that. But they can't say, hey, let's add motion controls. Hey, let's add a dual screen that you can take everywhere. Hey, let's have your console be portable literally everywhere. They're trying to make gaming a better place versus just something pretty to look at. And Inaba gets that, and I appreciate that from him.
Yeah, like, we discussed this with our boss, Keith, prior before, and yeah, that's the kind of thing that we come to consensus to, because again, with Sony and Xbox, they always want to try to up themselves regarding to, like, power, graphical standards, performance, yada, 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 loading times. Like, that's, again, I agree. It's all fine and dandy, you know? We all want to, like, looking at pretty games and just, like, seeing something cinematic on your home console, like with Final Fantasy VII, like, okay, that's nice and all, but that's, agreed, you go to the part of, like, Nintendo just reinventing so much things in a quality of lifestyle, like, for example, the Wii, like, got people to move, which, heck, when you expect gamers to move ever since, so, yeah, like, the Wii, and then, of course, the Wii U with the dual screen, even though it wasn't much of an improvement, and then, of course, the Nintendo Switch, which was quite something, and it just made splash on the industry. It's like, that's, again, that's one thing you gotta give props to Nintendo for, and should they ever make a sequel system of the Switch, I mean, whatever they may be, like,
Switch U!
Funny.
I know.
It's definitely going to be wondering how they're going to continue with that reinventing of the wheel of, like, what you expect from gaming. So that's one thing I do have faith in Nintendo. Like, if they're going to reinvent something that's going to improve the quality of life in the gaming industry, then heck, I'm definitely all for it, excited what they're going to make next.
Yeah, I think that we're kind of seeing the other side of the coin here on the Xbox Series X reveal, and likely with the PlayStation 5's reveal as well, as to, I guess, what the other major companies are doing and how they, in my opinion, pale in comparison to how Nintendo approaches gaming. I mean, we're seeing, especially in the Xbox Series X gameplay, alleged gameplay video that they released, there was just, if you could call it that, those games all looked like they were being played on the Xbox One to me. I didn't notice a big difference. And I'm sure that, you know, it's impressive and get your hands on it and all that, but it's just, Nintendo always comes up with something cool and new and creative. And even in the Wii U, where they missed, I think they missed there because it wasn't creative enough, whereas the Switch kind of was the completion of that,
yeah,
I guess, unfinished idea.
Mm-hmm. And again, it was also a branding issue, as we past, you know, it's Wii U, so is that an accessory? Is that the naming wasn't good, but yeah, the Switch was the completion of that event. So, and going back to the Xbox, like you said, when they had, like, their big reveal event, everyone's like, wasn't this supposed to be impressive? And then people started knowing that they weren't running at 60 frames per second, and it only had it had a graphical cap. And I'm like, wasn't this supposed to be the next evolution? So can we really expect more from the PS5? I don't know. So, and the Switch is here like, hey, we've sold over 55 million. Last generation graphics, still selling. So, appreciate you, Inaba, and I look forward to whatever you bring to the Switch, both with Bayonetta and whatever else you have in the future. Astral Chain 2, please.
Oh, yeah. Oh, heck, Wonderful 102.
Oh, yeah. You never know. So next up, we have something, again, we're looking forward to for next week, which is Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. That's coming out next Friday. And Monolith Soft had a big interview with Famitsu, and they revealed some very interesting things. This came from Tetsuya Takahashi, who noted, first off, when do you guys think the game was actually starting to be developed?
If I remember reading the interview correctly, I think it was at the end of Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Correct. They just finished Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and they were working on Torrent of the Golden Country, and so they decided to pitch Definitive Edition, and they got the approval. And then, not only were they working on Torna, not only were they working on Xenoblade Definitive, but they are also working on that new title that they've been teasing for a while. So at one point in time, they were working on three different projects at once. Oof. So that just shows you the growth that Monolith Soft has been having, because they got that new studio, and of course they've still been helping with other Nintendo games that they needed help on. So these guys have been working it. And then he talked about the graphics. He goes, quote, "It goes without saying, but considering we had restrictions like production costs and time, we couldn't remake everything. So we started off with deciding what we could remake and what we would not. Specifically, we went as far as up converting the textures and adding shader textures for the enemies and maps. Then we remade things like the main important character faces and hands." Always got to do the hands. The hands can look so wonky. The new equipment in Definitive Edition, the Monado, the facial animations are cutscenes and scripted events, and so on. "Even though we divided up like this, before long, each member of the team began showing their passion and abilities. So we wound up incidentally touching things up like the NPCs and enemies that we didn't intend on changing initially." So they really went all out on this because they knew they wanted to make this the best possible looking, Definitive Edition that you can, which I appreciate. And all the trailers show that it does look good. I mean, that was actually one of the reasons I didn't want to get the 3DS version, because you could tell that it wasn't really that impressive visually.
Yeah. As much as props they ported to the 3DS version, obviously the Wii was the standard at the time. So, and now bringing it to the Switch, it's meant to be upgraded this way and not ported down to a 3DS, honestly. Yeah.
Yes. Which brings us to our final content for the game, which is Future Connected, which again is the new storyline focusing on Shulk and Melia. According to Takahashi, the extended game will be 10 to 20 hours. The story itself will be about 10 to 12 hours, but you could spend an additional 8 or so hours on the side content should you decide to invest in it. Mm-hmm. Given that I'm not going to have another game until July, I'm probably going to invest in it. I'm just saying. So,
this is pretty much as roughly the same size as Golden Country, yes?
Give or take, yeah. I think Golden Country was about 15 to 20 hours main story. So, but I'm very happy to hear this from them. Again, I never got to play the original. I didn't play it on 3DS. And so to finally be able to get this, despite, and then we joked about this last week, Tyler, how bloody British it all sounds. So British, but hey, whatever. I'm looking.
Yeah, the British. We talked about that the week I was there. The British accents are just, it's too much. But you're right; it does look gorgeous. They did a great job.
Hey, don't worry,
it looks better than the original
too. At least it's not Bravely Default too.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. What was that guy's name? Seamus or?
It's well have been Seamus, but it was probably a normal name. But it just
Seamus is normal. What the heck, man?
It's normal for somebody from Scotland, but you don't see American people named Seamus. Come on.
Surprised. Anyway, so again, that's coming out next Friday. We'll probably be teasing it a little bit more next week because I'm definitely getting it. I just don't know if I'll be able to go buy it in store or have to get it digitally. It just depends on my situation. But I'm definitely getting it, and it'll carry me for at least a little while, so I'm grateful to that. And then, Will, it has begun! Oh, not really.
I love it.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat Aftermath is just days away from release. It's coming out on May 26th, and NetherRealm Studios has released the second trailer, the launch trailer, for the Aftermath content, which again features a brand new extended Aftermath storyline from the main game of 11. And they also showed off, of course, the gameplay, showing off RoboCop and Fujin and Shiva. So it was good stuff. And I gotta admit, you know, for again, this kind of ties into, you know, Future Connected and Torn of the Golden Country, but this feels like true extended content. Because if you look at the scope of the trailer, you know, with all the characters that are either returning and the battles they're teasing, I mean, this doesn't look small. This does not feel like a tacked on, hey, let's just do an epilogue story. This feels like, you know, a potentially 5 to 6 hour slam fest featuring all your favorite characters.
Right. And of course, like, even aside from the Aftermath DLC, like, just the fact, of course, that the whole new friendship, stage fatalities, just basically overall upgrade from it. It's, like, very quite impressive, just to say the least. And, yeah, just a quick, I know this is just a minor gripe, but basically, why do they call it the launch trailer when you still have 1 week away? I mean, sure, if it's, like, 3 days beforehand, sure, but why do they call it the launch trailer?
Because it's the trailer that's going to be the official launch of the game. Like, this is probably what they're going to show in commercials to the best of their abilities, you know?
I agree with you. Trailer should be released when you launch.
Exactly. But that grinds my gears. But again, that's my 2 cents. But yeah, like, just again, how much, like, service it pays, even to, like, the all Mortal Kombat medias, including that line, like, it has begun. And again, just the same fact that it's from the same actor is, I just love how much it pays so much fan service. And of course, also, this is just maybe just me, but a lot of people have been complaining, like, it was maybe a bit too spoilery in regards to, like, revealing the entire plot.
Yeah, it does, because, I mean, they basically tease that the final battle is a rematch from the Mortal Kombat movie of, you know, Liu Kang versus Shang Tsung, and it's like, I mean, I get the parallels because, you know, they did the reverse of the line where it's Liu Kang saying it to Shang Tsung and not the other way around, but, like, that you basically just spoil that Shang Tsung's gonna get the bloody crown. So, why?
Yeah, so, like, another round, can you not spoil too much? Granted, it is fan service, but please don't spoil us too much. We want to have some things hidden. But, yeah, but overall, wrapping it up, like, yeah, this trailer was great, great services, and I just wonder if even RoboCop's gonna make an appearance in this Aftermath DLC. I wonder.
You never know. Kind of a tie into that, they did two different trailers for Terminator versus RoboCop, one of the most legendary what-if battles ever, and they even had RoboCop say, "We have met before. I have no recollection of interaction. I know we've met before. I am sure of it." And anybody who knows their history knows that they have met before in the comics and in Death Battle and certain other places. So, that's good stuff.
I just want to say, like, right now, for any pop culture, because, like, we're, like, granted, us fanboys haven't grown old before the creation of Death Battle, and if people say this is a reference to Death Battle, no, you do not do that. You do not say it's a reference to Death Battle. It is a reference to the old comics.
Yes, I know, but I was just saying, like, but they did meet in Death Battle, so, and RoboCop won, rightfully so. Anyway. But yes, again, the DLC is coming out on May 26th, so make sure you get the combat pack or the collector's pack, and make sure you get it. Now, that being said, the additional stages, the friendships, the brutalities, those are all free, okay? But the new DLC characters and the DLC Aftermath story, that has to be paid for.
So. And just want to just briefly as well, like, have you seen the friendship trailer, yes?
Of course.
And yeah, I just gotta give props to that one as well. Like, one, they actually brought back Melina, which everybody was been asking for, as a cameo.
Yeah, they didn't really. I mean, it's tricky because they did, but they didn't. I mean, she's just in the friendship for Katana, yeah, which is not what we wanted. So.
I know, just like twisting that knife and twisting the size, yeah. And of course, at the end with the epic Sax Jax guy. Oh my god!
I liked Terminator riding his bike like it was a circus. He's like smiling, is like, "Are you not entertained?"
And yeah, just it also gives props like how the perfect choice of music makes the trailer. So like, why can't we be friends? Oh, God.
Oh gosh. See, and they said there's no fun in games anymore. Come on, that's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up we have Ninjala. Will, take it away.
So ever since it was announced that it was delayed due to the COVID-19 situation, like Gung Ho has announced that there's going to be a second round beta for Ninjala coming this May 31st here on the American side. But even better, that there's going to be a 10-hour session for each region. So for Japan, Europe, North America, Central America, and Asian countries, there will be separate times for 10 hours. So you can play a 10-hour session of Ninjala whenever it comes to your region. For us here in America, it is May 31st, 12 to 21:59 Pacific Standard Time. So for Eastern Time for us, that'll be 3 p.m. to 1 a.m. So 10-hour sessions for Ninjala, which is, yeah, much better than the one-hour session we got from the initial beta, if you can actually play it. So, yeah, overall, I'm glad that it's finally getting the much-needed polish and extra testing before it released it on June 25th. So if... I don't know, guys. If you got one free day work, you probably can definitely try it out. It's actually pretty fun. And here's hoping they actually have learned it, their mistakes from the initial beta session. So if you get a chance to definitely try it out, it's actually quite fun.
Yeah, I'm planning on trying it out as long as the connection isn't a complete disaster like it was the first time.
Yes, here's hoping they have learned that lesson. I mean, the last session in the first round, it was playable, but clearly they had a lot of things they need to improve upon. So here's hoping they've learned their lesson. Here's hoping.
I'm probably not going to play it. I honestly don't have much of an interest. I really don't. But if you guys let me know how it goes, we'll see where we all go from there. But We'll see. But I do remember how bad the beta went, so hopefully this time will be a little bit better. One can hope. Alright, moving on. Surprise news, and that is Unreal Engine 5. Epic Games revealed the next iteration of their Unreal Engine, and it will be indeed one of the things that help power the mighty Xbox Series XX. And the PS5, 5, 5, 5, 5. But in a twist of epic proportions, it's also going to be available on Switch. How is that possible? Well, Tim Sweeney, the CEO of Epic Games, had this to say on it. Quote, "To maintain compatibility with the older generation platforms, we have this next generation content pipeline where you build your assets or import them at the highest level of quality. The film level of quality that you'll likely run on next generation consoles. The engine provides and will provide more scalability points to down resolution your content to run on everything, all the way down to iOS and Android devices from several years ago. So you build the content once and you can deploy it elsewhere, and you can build the same game for all of these systems, but you just get a different level of graphical fidelity," end quote. Now you might be thinking, doesn't that seem like a lot of work? Yes. Kind of does, but here's the reason why. Fortnite.
Not surprisingly.
Yeah, that's the reason. They noted that even with their they're going to upgrade Fortnite to the Unreal Engine 5. And of course, they've got it on like, what, 9 different systems right now? So they're wanting to make sure that they can, you know, still work it, everything from the new content to the new skins, the emotes, all of it, in all of the systems, no matter what the graphical level is. So they're using this pipeline to make sure that they can still do that. And then I guess developers can do the same thing, which would potentially mean that the Switch could get a higher level of port depending on the developer and publisher. Potentially. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Right.
Possibly.
Right, right, right.
So.
And of course, if there's also the natural chance of if they're going to upgrade the Switch models as well. So there's also that
True.
Possibility.
Exactly.
True. So. Again, this is a big deal because again, the Unreal Engine 4 does work on the Switch right now, and I think a couple of people have used it. I believe Ubisoft used it at least once, so we know it can work. And with the Unreal Engine 5, if it's going to even bring like you know the top level that the Switch can handle, power to you. Let's do it. Rock on. Of course, the downside is we have to wait until 2021 So we probably won't be able to see Unreal Engine 5 games on Switch until at least 2022 at the earliest, more than likely. So we'll see. But hey, it's there, and that's an option that Nintendo can use to their advantage. Hopefully, potentially, possibly. You have nothing to add? I mean,
well, that's pretty much it. What you expect, like, I don't know, should, like, have Unreal Engine 5, like,
a technical breakdown of every single thing that's gonna work on.
Like,
I expect
like
this
what,
from Tyler.
I mean, what, do you want Gears of War on the Nintendo Switch? I mean, that
gosh,
would
no,
be exciting.
That, keep that game away from the Switch. So, next thing you'll know, you'll be wanting Halo on Switch, and I'll be like, you shut your mouth. We have Samus Aran. We don't need
we do
dead
have
Master
Doom.
Chief.
We technically do have Doom on the Switch. So.
Doom doesn't count. Doom is eternal. Doom is eternal. I did, that was an unintentional pun, but I thought that was
unintentional.
No, that was unintentional. I often say, you know, something is eternal, but Doom honestly is eternal in both literal and metaphorical fashion, so that doesn't matter.
When is that coming, by the way? Have they announced an official Switch release date for that? I don't think they have.
They have not yet. They have not, but no doubt about
it
in due time.
June.
I think that was was that May Outer Worlds?
No, that was it might have been Outer Worlds. It's coming. TBD.
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually. All right. And finally, another rumor is popping up that the June month that is upon us, which how it is almost June is beyond me right now. And can we note that this is usually the part of the show or the month where we start doing the road to E3, and I can't do it now. E3 is not here.
Yeah,
I need to sing Pokemon songs.
man.
The road to E3 is like the most fun part of NEP, and they've stolen it from us this year.
Why do you like the road to E3 more than being the commissioner of the NEP draft?
Yeah. I like being the commissioner of the NEP draft, of course, but who doesn't? The road to E3, just breaking down, I miss predicting the first party stuff, predicting surprises, the third party stuff, all that. It's just the best. And it's gone. And the Smash character.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Okay, about RIP. This time, that wouldn't have been much of a surprise because we all know it's an ARMS character.
Right, but then they would have given us another one, probably, right? They would have announced something
else. Maybe.
Oh, no. Okay, but the reason we're bringing this up is that there's a new rumor that there will not be a Nintendo Direct at all in June because of everything going on with COVID, which might explain why they did the Paper Mario thing the way they did. Because, you know, why release it, why announce it 3 weeks, you know, before you do a Direct? I mean, does that really benefit anybody, especially when it's coming out in July? I mean, the build-up would have been the same. So, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just getting the feeling, like, even though they're not gonna be do a full Nintendo Direct, like with Oregon King, they're just gonna like basically sprinkle trailers during the summer months, like with how other companies gotta be doing themselves for the like what Jeff Keighley announced that we're going through the whole summer of games. They've been announcing it, so that thing. So I'm guessing that Nintendo probably was gonna maybe sprinkle some trailers, or at least even drop one trailer on their on their prior scheduled day on that one Tuesday or once, give or take. So that's just my prediction.
I don't know. It's tricky because we were joking, not really joking, but we discussed this earlier a couple weeks back about, you know, that they need to have a Direct no matter what because we need to know what's coming in the upcoming months. And yet then they do the Paper Mario reveal and there's this rumor about the Pikmin reveal. And if they're just going to just drop it on Twitter or in videos and whatever and just say, hey, here's your announcement, then that just sort of affirms that, hey, we're not going to do a Direct because we don't really have one. And that's really depressing because we really need a Direct. I mean, the quote-unquote mini that they gave us was fine, but it didn't really break new ground. We need it to break ground. We need to know what the ARMS character is and what the... you know, what else is coming? Is it Pikmin? Where's Bravely Default to? Where is, you know, all these other games? What's going to be our November Nintendo game? I mean, you've done 3 years of great November games, and then where's the one for this year? Is it going to be the Mario game? Is it going to be anything else? Like, what do you have for us? We need to know! So, I don't know. I don't know how this is all going to play out.
It's, yeah, it's just, like, so much things we're going to just so up in the air right now. I mean, heck, I mean, even, I really kind of actually do want to see Doug Bowser again since it's his original initial directs. Like, of course, showing Bowser, the CG Bowser himself. Like, are you related to him? Like, heck, I kind of actually miss that kind of main Nintendo directs. So, yeah, like, if, I don't know, if Doug Bowser gives some sort of, like, Doug Bowser directs to us, like, talking how things are in Nintendo. I mean, heck, that even would even surprise as well. Just let us know that Nintendo's okay. I mean, sure, of course, they're known to be very secretive and all that. They keep their hands close. But, yeah, if they, like, if there's some sort of, like, transparency with their fans of, like, is Nintendo okay? Are they, like, try to keep as they can, even while keeping quality, even with the current world situation, then... Yeah, I think that would be much more appreciated. It doesn't even have to be, like, full-on game. Just, like, saying, like, we're okay, got that. We're continuing trying to be steadfast, even with this current world situation. Just, like, a little bit of transparency with us, as we always, like, requested before.
Yeah, I think that this Nintendo Direct, there's not going to be one for one. I mean, the people are... If it's not officially reported by Nintendo, but I think that they... expected this to get out, to stop people from getting their hopes up. And it goes in line with everything else this year. It's just kind of been frustrating and disappointing, but at the same time, you know, we have to understand why they are in this situation. I'm okay with no actual Nintendo Direct. I would, like Will said, you know, they could just do like a basically a press release saying, oh, hey, you know, we're doing good, we're still working on stuff. I know that they're doing that. I don't really need to see that. For me, Nintendo Direct really is just a revealing of new games. So if they do what they did with Paper Mario and they steadily release trailers for games, I will be just fine with it. The Nintendo Direct format is delightful and charming, but at the end of the day, what matters most is knowing what games are coming. And with the Paper Mario, that's satiated me for a little bit, but I would like to see more, and I'm sure we will see game reveals in June, just not in the traditional way.
We'll see. I mean, we only got like 10 days to find out. I don't know how it's almost June. I'm like, I just can't right now. I mean, it's bad. 2020 has already been bad enough.
It's and like, is it all, I don't know, is it almost June or is it already June? Because I feel
moment,
like both.
I feel like it's almost already June already.
You feel like it's already? I feel like it's totally both. Like January, man, January feels like forever ago. But at the same time, it's already June. Like, I can't believe it's already June.
Really? Because I feel like January was just feels like yesterday, honestly.
Really? January feels like... Because March, to me, was just, like, the longest month in the history of humankind. I wrote in my journal, I was reading it back, that I don't remember a time when it wasn't March, and it was, like, March 20th. Like, it just feels like March took forever.
I was about to say, you keep a journal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I keep a journal. I think it's a good habit, honestly. I wish I always tell people when we're having life conversations, I always recommend keeping a journal.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to the rabbit hole now, but do they kept the journal feature in Animal Crossing New Horizons or no?
See, I don't have Animal Crossing.
I thought you said you're gonna get it. You said you were gonna.
I was thinking about it, but I think the time has passed. I think I've gotten through the temptation, and I'm on the other side of I'm never gonna get it.
Okay. All right, so now, after so long of waiting and wondering, here we are again. It's time to settle it in Splat. So yes, here we are. It is time to rekindle a debate long eternal. A tale of souls and swords. Oh wait, that's something else. Yes. To our shock and surprise, Nintendo has brought back the Splatfest for one weekend only.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially. And it is mayonnaise versus ketchup. Kind of random, but okay. And like the days of yore, it's been 84 years. We are going to once again break down which one's best, which one's not, and why we should hate Tyler for his pick. I kid. So Tyler, what side are ye on?
Listen, I'm not changing sides here. I'm staying on Team Mayo.
Okay.
I don't like mayo. I don't like ketchup either. So for me, this boils down to not even an allegiance to Pearl, like it was originally, which is like Team Pearl, because Team Marina was so annoying. But now that Splatoon has slowed down, the Marina obsession has been curbed, and I'm over it. But now it's just about being consistent for me. It's about, you know, I picked Team Mayo once. I'm not going to change to Team Ketchup later. And, you know, my friends, for example, my crew, the extended NEP family, were trying to get together for this Splatfest. And we were pretty split. I think most of them actually liked ketchup more, but I convinced them, just listen, we've got to be Team Mayonnaise just because I have to be consistent for the NEP audience.
Wow. I love I don't like mayo. I don't like ketchup either. It's about consistency.
Right. It's exactly what it is for me. But at the same time, I do feel an obligation to explain why ketchup is awful. And that's because it makes everything worse. It's tomatoes.
Oh, gosh.
The worst fruit/vegetable, fruit in the world.
Wow.
Mixed with sugar, something that's amazing, and somehow the evilness of the tomato emerges to make this disgusting. Nothing is worse than when you order a cheeseburger from a restaurant and you just say, I don't want anything on it, plain, absolutely plain, and then it comes out and there's ketchup on it, and it's just like, if you don't check, it's like when they put like tomato, or if they put like lettuce and tomato on it, you can see that with just that, without having to lift a bun. But ketchup, you have to lift a bun to check for ketchup, and you can sometimes get surprised. And it's awful. It's the worst. And listen, mayonnaise being a surprise is just as bad. But the items that you're surprised by in the fast food world, ketchup is far more common, and it's terrible. And it's kind of disgusting to, like, when you're actually like, imagine you're at a ball game, right? You're at a baseball game. I remember when we went to those, and you got the hot dog, and you had a.
I remember when we went to those.
And you have to like squirt the ketchup out, and you got to like mash the pump a bunch of times, and then it kind of like spits out. It's just disgusting. It's just an experience that makes your stomach curl. Yeah, just ketchup in general, far worse. Mayonnaise is pretty easy to avoid. You know, just don't order fish, and you're good. You don't have to worry about mayonnaise.
I know you don't watch Supernatural, but your whole speech reminded me of an episode of Supernatural where the Demon Crowley, who is a fan favorite character, he's you know what Crossroads deal is, right, Tyler?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Crowley was the king of the Crossroads, and then he became the king of the underworld, and so another demon took his place, and he decided, hey, I'm gonna assign people to deals, and then I'm gonna unintentionally kill them so that I could just reap their souls now. And Crowley found out about this, and he lost it, and he goes, we're demons! We have integrity! That's exactly what you sounded like. It was like, it's like, I don't like ketchup, I don't like mayo, but I have consistency! Oh, gosh. Okay. We'll save us from Tyler.
And yeah, because this is pretty much part two of our Splatfest between mayo versus ketchup. And just for the record, this is actually the first Splatfest topic since the cake and ice cream. This is the first Splatfest, and this was way back on August 5th of 2017. That's how long this topic was since back then, the release of Splatoon. And I just don't get why the heck you always hate ketchup. Ketchup is one of the best condiments that anyone can serve. And I think there's also probably another Freudian reason why you prefer mayo and chole on that side again. I don't know. I prefer not to, because again, it has been that certain color ink has been expressed on both sides. But I digress. And yeah, just regarding to ketchup. How on earth do you not like ketchup? We even discussed this thing back and forth. Sure, we may have lost the first round of Splatfest back all the way back in 2017, but we're going to reclaim it again. And you know why we're going to reclaim again? New fans, new generation, and who knows more. Because I don't know about you, but ketchup, how the heck do you not like ketchup? It's tomatoes, antioxidants, good for your blood. what do you want to see? You're not great with hamburgers, great with fries, great with steaks. Like, it pretty much is the universal condiment you can put on anything. But on chips, hey, they have ketchup chips.
Like, I just want to rewind. You saying I have Freudian reasons for supporting mayo is just astonishing. I mean, I get what you're going for, and it is very funny. But it just for Wario Will to accuse anyone of Freudian feelings, it's astonishing. It's astonishing and appalling, and I feel like it discredits your argument.
I wonder, yeah, because if I remember correctly, you when the Mayo team won the first time around, let's see, let me look at the votes right. Solo team rise 51% for solo and 51% for team. So, granted, not a lot of people like Mayo. Yes, I'm looking at the details right now. Only 26.85% only like Mayo on popularity votes. So that there's also gonna be that one question if Team Unpopular is gonna win this again, but who knows? But yeah, last I checked, 73.15% actually love ketchup. So apparently that we love ketchup. A lot of people love ketchup, and oh boy, it's gonna be kind of something to see. It's how literally like about three years since then is gonna be changed. It's just, I don't know. On hindsight, it is going to be a very good splatfest to witness again. But I don't know why you don't like ketchup. It's just, it is the universal condiment.
Here I am, once again, stuck in the middle with you. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, which is perfect because Will plays Persona and Tyler's a clown.
Whoa! That's
funny. So you were expecting something deep. Nope. But right for the sucker punch. No. All right. Real talk, and I'm pretty sure I've said this before. I like ketchup, and I like mayo. Like, when I used to have sandwiches, like just pure sandwiches, I would put mayonnaise on it, and then I eventually evolved to ranch, but I still like mayo on my sandwiches. When I have chicken breast, oh gosh, I put mayonnaise on the chicken breast, but then I put ketchup with my fries. You know, you gotta have fries with ketchup. That is eternal, just like Doom. And, you know, when I have burgers, I put ketchup on it. You know? And I definitely have ketchup more than mayo, just because first of all, mayo, as delicious as it is so fatty.
It is, yes!
It is 100% fat. Like, I looked at it, and it's, you know, 100%, you know, fat. It's super calories for the smallest of serving sizes, and it's like, I don't care, because I love it, and I'm gonna have it with my chicken breast. But the ketchup, it's bad, but it's not as bad, so, I like both, but obviously I have to make a choice, and after hearing Tyler's very Crowley answer, I'm gonna go with ketchup, because... While ketchup and mayo I both love, I definitely have ketchup more. And I really don't... I mean, I get the whole, you know, it's about taste, it's all subjective. Like, I don't like mustard, and I'm sure Tyler likes mustard.
No, I hate mustard. Mustard's disgusting. So is it a condiment?
There's hope for you yet.
And then I hate it, if it's a condiment.
You hate all condiments?
Yeah, all condiments. I hate all condiments.
Hold on. So, like, ketchup, mustard,
hate.
Horseradish.
Hate.
Barbecue sauce.
That doesn't count.
Counts! It counts!
It's a sauce. Is all sauce condiments?
Yes! Okay, hold on, stop.
Okay, there's a difference.
Stop. If we're talking pure sauce, like spaghetti sauce, that's not a condiment.
I wouldn't qualify that.
A condiment is defined as something that you can layer onto an object to make it more, you know, like ketchup, mustard. And when you go to places like a barbecue joint, they don't just put the barbecue in the meat, they put it in a bottle, like A1 barbecue sauce. It's a little thing that you have right next to the ketchup.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I prefer, like, to cook my food in barbecue sauce,
and that's fine,
rather than to layer it on afterwards,
and that's fine. So,
but I do like
barbecue sauce. Is a condiment.
I do like barbecue sauce.
There you go. So,
but not that, love.
Label that as the exception, not the rule.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, let's see. So you already said horseradish. Relish.
Hate.
trying to think of condiments. I didn't think it was hard. Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, Worcestershire
sauce. I'll cook food with that, but I won't put it on afterwards.
See? Tartar sauce.
Well, you said it's about something you layer on afterwards. And
that is Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah, but I put Worcestershire sauce. If I'm making a cheeseburger, I'll put Worcestershire sauce in it before I cook it, and it'll cook in it. That's not a condiment at that point.
Oh, gosh. It's now time for Cooking with Tyler. Today's lesson, what is and isn't a condiment?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've actually just Googled this thing up. So, like, salt is basically sauces or spice to add extra flavor, like ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard, sugar, soy sauce, salt, pepper, honey, jam, syrup, wasabi, hot sauce, barbecue sauce, and vinegar are considered condiments.
Okay, that's fair. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say I don't like, if they're thick, I usually don't like them. If it's like more saucy, I usually like them. I like soy sauce. Soy sauce is cool.
Wow.
Okay. You're going to go more on that?
The more you know, ladies and gentlemen, the more you know. Oh, boy. I should change the topics to splatting the condiments on or something like that. Anyway, what was the topic? Oh, yeah, ketchup versus
right, mayo. You were waffling because you previously were on Team Mayo, and now you're jumping ship.
I was on Team Mayo. I do remember that. I was on Team
Mayo.
But I'm pretty sure that was because I just had chicken breast, and so I was like, I was my more recent favorite. I'm having fries and ketchup tonight, so therefore...
You're a fraud. You're a fraud. It's okay. You're a fraud. It's okay.
It's called updated information, and I'm not afraid to change from my pride. All right, because you're like, if I change, then I'm not consistent. There is such things as changing for a good reason. Like, for example, I'll give you the best example in the world. You ready for this? For the longest time, I refused to label Tom Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time. I didn't care when he had 3 rings. I didn't care when he had 4. I didn't care when he had 5. When he was 6, I was getting closer because we all know why he got the 6th. And then when he was 7th, I'm like, you know what, screw it. He's the GOAT. I can't defeat that anymore. You know, it's just there. So I changed because I knew it was right. That's different.
But one thing is like based on objective, you know, facts.
No,
the other
objective. I could be stubborn as a git and say,
yeah, but you'd be wrong.
But no, I wouldn't be wrong. Not in my subjective opinion. There's some people who refuse to acknowledge that Jordan is the greatest, even though The Last Dance proved it in 10 episodes.
No, Mike, The Last Dance was literally made by Michael Jordan. It was a propaganda piece
put out.
This isn't about Nintendo. I'm not going to go into it, but it was a propaganda piece that we had heard about.
Was on Nintendo.
It was on Nintendo.
That's true.
Anyway, rewinding. I'm changing because I do like ketchup. And I just feel that right now, if I had to pick, I like ketchup more. I put it on more things. I'm having a grill out with my family over the weekend, more than likely. And what am I going to put on my burgers and my fries? Ketchup. There's nothing wrong with liking it. And I like both. I'm not like you, the condiment hater.
Right.
All right? I like both. And so I picked mayo before. I'm picking ketchup now, and I'm fine with that.
I wonder if that's kind of the reason why they chose it, because, again, this is upcoming Memorial Day, so Memorial Day barbecue, with the current world situation, I wonder.
I just can't believe that our poor audience has come. They've come to really trust Triforce Todd over the past 3.5 years. They've come to really
certainly regarding to how much you believe that money would win over love.
Because I told the truth. And you know, I always thought Todd told the truth too, but now everything he's ever said has been just completely discredited in a shocking betrayal of Team Mayo for Team Ketchup.
Oh, and like, here's hoping like our listeners here, like any ketchup lovers out there, I'll change the course of history. They may have won the first round of Mayo back in all 2017, but we shall claim 2020, my fellow brethren.
Yeah. Tyler, at least we can agree on a couple of things. We both still love Nintendo.
Agreed.
And Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is still one of the best games of all time. Moving on! And with that, truth and fact, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler, you weren't here last week!
Yep, that's right.
So, given the time has passed since, I'm sure we did this the last time, but given how much time has passed, let's settle the score once and for all. Mayo or ketchup? No third option. Let's settle this the right way with a poll, with our fans. Tag it 1,000 ways to Sunday to make sure that everybody sees this. Let's settle it. Mayo
Agreed.
Or ketchup? Let's do this.
Sounds good.
Let's do this thing. So, all right. And of course, let us know what you think of everything that's going on in the world of Nintendo and condiments. I'm just saying. What do you think about the Pikmin, and do you think that they go best with mayo or ketchup?
I wonder if the kid actually can't eat Pikmin. I wonder.
Well, hold on. If you think about the Pikmin game, half of the threats to the Pikmin is them getting eaten.
Right,
especially like the plant monster, the one that's in the Smash Brothers level. That thing eats Pikmin like all day long. Yeah, the wargs.
Right.
So like those, they get eaten all the time. That's why Olimar has to keep plucking them out. Anyway. And of course, are you happy that Kamiya has said that Bayonetta 3 is definitely not canceled? Are you excited for everything that is coming with Xenoblade? It's only a week away now. Are you getting Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath? Are you excited to see Unreal Engine 5 on the Switch? Let us know in the comments below. And of course, vote on the poll. We're going to settle this once and for all. Hopefully, potentially, possibly. So, for Talius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level. So... raise the flag.